You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to Matinair on Air. My name is Greg Bach, filling in for Jane Matinair, who is currently on vacation, but she misses you, she told me herself. And we want to welcome you to the show today. Absolutely 100% packed. It's going to be fantastic. At 9:35, after the bottom of the hour news break, we welcome Jim Santel, who is a former U.S. attorney, current practicing attorney, knower of things, host of Amicus, a law review, which is available Saturdays on Civic Media. That's where we're at. I took a breath there. I didn't forget. I just took a breath there. 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. every Saturday. He hosts Amicus, a law review, where he gives you a breakdown of everything that's going on that's important in the world of law. He will be joining us at 9:35. And then it's Thursday, Calvin. By the way, Calvin Butenhoff on the board. Sweet Cal B. If you're watching the live stream, he's really trying to hide the fact that he's yawning right now. Calvin, good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning, Gregory. I'm doing fantastic. You know, it's Thursday. We almost made it to the end of another week.
Yeah.
And then we got the holiday weekend coming up.
We do indeed. And you called me Gregory, which is very, very odd, but I'll take it. That's fine. That's my name. It's my full name. You can call me that. I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're on the buttons, pushing the ones and the twos. And we're going over what's going on in the show today at 10:22 today. We're going to have Weather and Wine with Civic Media's meteorologist, Brittany Merlot, award-winning meteorologist. Brittany Merlot will be here with the weather, giving us the breakdown of what's happening for this weekend, because we want to, I don't know, we'd like to have nice, good weather. And then, of course, at 10:35, of course, it's Thursday. Of course, it's sports. We're talking to our sports guru, Paul Noonan, is here. We're going to be discussing the Brewers. Not as, Calvin, I don't know. We're still doing really well. We still have the best record in baseball. We're still number one, miles ahead of everybody else in the division, but lost some games. Little bit of panic. No need to panic. We're doing well. So Paul is here to quell our woes and our concerns, and also probably talk about some Packers news, because preseason is done. They're getting ready for the new season coming up. So he will be here at 10:35. So don't go anywhere. Stay here. We want to have you here. We want to have fun. If you want to get in touch with us, give us a call. Give us a text. It's the same number. It's 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. That is able to be done on your phone, or if you get the Civic Media app, you can call or text or leave a voice note directly through the app, and you can get in touch, or you can be on the live stream right now, like our live streamers. Hello, live streamers. That is on Facebook, YouTube, or the place we still call Twitter. I almost called it X, Calvin.
I don't know what X even is.
I don't even acknowledge X as a letter in the alphabet. It's TUVW Twitter Y and Z. That's how I look at the alphabet now, Calvin.
It's the only right way.
All right. So, please join us. We're having a great time today. Really appreciate you being here. Really appreciate you reaching out. And as Roger put on the live stream, a lot of season left. Brewers magic number. That's okay. I'll talk about that with Paul later, the magic number. Stay tuned for that discussion, because if you know baseball, you know what the magic number is. And I was a little too afraid to ask that for fear of jinxing something, but that is the magic number the Brewers need to reach a certain goal. And that goal will be talked about with Paul Noonan and the second hour at 10:35. So stick around for Matt and Air on Air for that one. But I want to open up with what happened yesterday in Minneapolis. Tragedy hit in Minneapolis yesterday. Robin W. Westman is the gunman who opened fire and killed two children and injured 17 others. This is coming by way of the New York Times. Talia Minsberg, Amy Harmon, and Arik Toler with the byline. And I really wanted to share this because if you don't already know, Robin, who ended her life after the events, was a trans woman. And I'm seeing a lot, of course, Calvin, this should come as no shock to you. There's a lot of outrage from a certain part of the internet about the fact that Robin was a trans woman. And that is just the fact of the matter. She was a trans woman and she committed this heinous, heinous crime. There's no getting around that. And there's no defending anything because I think what's happening is people are trying to write a narrative that because she was trans, there should be some sort of, you know, well, I mean, that's different then. No, she committed a horrific crime. She killed children. She injured others. And what I want to put across here is that just like all of the other people, the gunmen who committed terrible, terrible acts, whether it's in schools or any sort of mass shootings, this is about mental health. This isn't just a woman who woke up one day and said, I'm trans, I'm going to commit murder and I'm going to hurt others. This is someone, if you look at the article that I'm going to post in the New York Times, this was someone who's not well. And it had nothing to do with her being, well, I shouldn't say that. I won't say that. Being trans didn't cause this, I will say that. Because if that were the case, we'd see a lot more people in this situation. We see people from all different backgrounds committing these sorts of crimes, committing these horrific, horrific acts. And I want to take the component of, well, who were they? I want to look at the component of the mental health. Where were they at? And it says very clearly that Miss Westman kept a journal. That journal was full of very, very disturbing information. It was had things regarding anti-Semitism and racism and a hatred for Donald Trump. So this to me is not of time when we're going to say, you know, she was trans. This is why she did it. I don't think that's true at all. I think this was a person who needed help, who didn't get it. And unfortunately, it led to this. And that goes for the people who, if they are white Christian males who are walking into churches and doing this, there is something wrong with you with mental health if this is where you're being taken. And that is the conversation we need to have and actually have a conversation about it. Because just like any time else, Calvin, in America, these shootings happen. We say thoughts and prayers. We say, let's not politicize it. Then we say it's about mental health, and then nothing happens. We don't allocate monies, either federally or state, for mental health. We don't look deeper into it. In fact, I mean, for the longest time, if you don't know this, if you don't remember this, the CDC was barred from doing any sort of extensive research on gunplay or gun deaths, gun violence, because they don't want to approach the topic that it might be the fact that guns are the problem. The fact that it is so easy to get a gun in this country, the fact that we do not look at the situation and at least react properly, in my opinion. And what Miss Westman did was a tragedy, and Miss Westman was a trans person. But I do not want to focus on that as a reason why. I want to focus on the fact that obviously Miss Westman suffered from mental illness, suffered from bad mental health, and did not get the help that she needed. So, and please feel free to comment on the live stream. Comment respectfully. If not, you're going to be banned, as we just banned somebody who decided to take it in a direction that was disrespectful. Give us a call. Give us a text on the phone line. I want to hear from you on this, because it happens all the time now. As we know, this is nothing new. This conversation, this is not the first, second, or fifth time we've talked about this on this show. And if it's about mental health, which I believe this is, what can we do about it? What can we absolutely do about this? I would love to hear from you. But feel free to call. Feel free to drop a comment in the live stream. We want to always hear from you. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. In other news, Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has requested a presidential disaster declaration from Donald Trump. This is coming from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Jesse Opinion with the byline. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has requested a presidential declaration from Mr. Trump. As we've reported, or we've talked about before in the past few days, He is in town right now doing assessments. They're looking through Waukesha. They're looking through TOSA. They're looking through Milwaukee and putting together all their information. And in the article here, there's a video that shows about the help that putting your information into 211 does. So again, and we're going to keep talking about this until Well, until they don't need the information anymore, but they'll probably take it anytime. If you have been affected by the floods, go to 211 and put in your information. Tell them what has happened to you, whether it's your property, whether it's your car, whether no matter how you've been affected. If you've been affected by the flood, go to 211 and you can put in your information. That helps FEMA. That helps state research a lot. And they actually say in the video that they assess their the damage through the reports they get, plus also knocking at doors. You might get a knock on your door if you live in the affected areas. You might not. If you do not, do not worry. It does not mean they're like skipping over you or that you might not get help if there are funds to be distributed. But they have a plan on how they assess the damage, and it is through boots on the ground right now, knocking on doors, talking to people, and also assessing through 211. So if you've been affected, go to 211, put in your report. You can call. I'm assuming it'll probably be very busy. You can also do it online. Very simple. It makes it a lot easier. I know that Jane has talked about this. She put her information into 211 as well. Very easy, and then was able to get along with her day. And we also spoke earlier this week that FEMA staffers wrote a letter of warning to Donald Trump saying that the actions being taken by the administration to cut funding, to cut resources to other states when they're being affected by natural disasters, such in the case of Wisconsin, such in the case of Arkansas, North Carolina, and Texas, and California, that when we do this with FEMA, that we are at risk, as they say, of a Katrina-level disaster. About 180 employees wrote onto the letter. We've talked about this from the Washington Post. And I wanted to give you an update on that if you haven't heard. But FEMA employees have been placed on leave after criticizing the Trump administration in an open letter. NBC News reporting this yesterday. It seems like when you speak up, even in defense of the people, democracy, the process, you could call it the bureaucracy, but the process of FEMA, there will be consequences. At least 21 federal emergency management agencies employees have been put on administrative leave after they signed an open letter criticizing the Trump administration's disaster preparedness and response capabilities. That's coming from the article by Laura Strickler and Rebecca Shabbat. Coletta Delawalo, who is also the executive director of the group Stand Up for Science, said Wednesday that the two of the employees who were placed on leave were working in the Kerr County, Texas, during the ongoing response to the devastating floods in July. They learned that they were placed on leave. So it turns out in the Trump administration, if you speak up on behalf of the people, but it doesn't go with what Donald Trump likes, you will be placed on leave and possibly fired, because that is just the way it goes. If you don't stand up for Donald Trump, you don't stand up at all. And that is where we're at. And that's where we're going to keep going. And frankly, it scares me to death. And if you have thoughts on this, give us a call. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Call or text, or drop a comment on the live stream. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. We are on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close. Stay tuned. Let's keep this conversation going.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome, welcome back. Good morning to Matt and Aaron Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matanera, who is currently vacating deservedly and in a probably relaxing way, and I'm very, very happy for her. Can't wait to see her when she comes back. We are here talking right now on the show about a couple of things that are going on, the shooting in Minneapolis, as well as FEMA funding and how that can pertain to Wisconsin. If you want to get involved, leave a comment on the live stream. You can do that by going to Facebook, YouTube, or the account we still call Twitter. You can also get in touch with us by calling or texting 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We'd love to hear from you. Hearing some comments on the text line here. TJ, listening on WISS in Oshkosh, says, with regard to Minneapolis, what a tragic event. Less than 0.1% of mass shooters are trans. Almost all shooters are cis white men. And those are just the facts. And there has been some consternation among people who don't want to recognize who Robin Westman was as a trans woman, and I'm referring to her as a man, which is disgusting and, I don't know, doesn't help the conversation at all. But people are getting upset that they are referring to her as a white man and then saying that all shooters. The conversation is so muddled now, and I want to bring it back to this is about mental health, and this country needs to do something seriously about mental health. We need to do something about guns. Trust me. But if we're going to talk about mental health as a way of diverting from gun reform, then we actually need to put our money where the mouths are and actually put money towards mental health. We can't do that when we're also defunding 988 suicide emergency hotlines for trans and queer kids. So that's just another comment. Lee in Racine, listening on WAUK, says, this is a weak analogy, but nonetheless, it might make sense to people with flooding. If there is water leaking into your basement, you need to correct the condition that causes the leak. You may need to build up the ground around your foundation or repair the cracks in the foundation. You need to address the problem before the basement floods. With the mental health issue in regards to guns and mass killing, the issue needs to be addressed for individuals when the signs first appear before the health issues become a disaster. We tend to minimize mental health because most of us don't understand it very well. We need to destigmatize the mental health issues and help people just as we do when they are physically ill. Absolutely. Start at the foundation, build up and build around and make it stronger. Fabulous. Fabulous analogy, Lee. I love it. Thank you so much, both Lee and TJ, for reaching out on the text line. Always love hearing from you guys. It's a frustrating conversation to have, Kelvin. I'm sure you've listened to me and Jane talk about it. If you're listening or reading the news, we discuss it all the time. It is mental health. It is access to guns, and that is a discussion that we also currently have, but this to me feels like a mental health issue. If you read the New York Times article, and I will post it in the show notes, this was someone who was deeply disturbed and needed help and either wasn't reached or couldn't be reached. But that is the conversation. And we need to have leaders in Washington, in Madison, in our local areas. We need to actually do something about this. So, Jim from Brookfield, listening on WAUK, said, Greg, you state the trans aspect of the Minnesota shooting well. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. The focus should not be on the fact that the shooter was trans, but why there aren't more red laws in places to prevent these tragedies. There are often many red flag laws prior to shooting, no matter what or who the person is. Yes, if we do something about it ahead of time, it's about proactive, being proactive, not being reactive. But in this state of matter in the United States of America, with as many shootings as we have, it seems like we're always going to be reactive, but we're not reacting at all. We do the same thing every time. It happens. It's a tragedy. We've lost lives. Children are gone. People are injured. We talk about what we should do. We are talking. I do not have the power to legislate. I can call my legislators, my representatives. You can do that by going to myvote.wi.gov and telling them what you think about this and telling them what you want to see happen. But ultimately, we're putting our, I don't want to say trust because I don't trust some of these individuals, but we put our belief and we allow the power to some people to represent us and do something about it. And if they're not doing it, we need to look at options. We need to look at who is out there, who's going to run to actually be the will and the voice of the people, because that is representative democracy, and that's how it's done. Unless you want to run yourself. Kelvin, do you want to run for office?
You know, I thought about it one day in the past, but I think I've realized that it's not quite for me.
All right. Well, I was going to say I'd run your campaign if you want, but if you don't want to run. But yeah, I mean, that is the thing, is you can go to myvote.wi.gov. Look up who represents you by putting your information in there. It will give you everyone from the president down to the dog catcher if you still vote for them. And you can call them, you can write them, you can visit them if they give office hours. We always ask that you be respectful when you do that. If you're calling, you're not going to be talking to the representative. You're going to be talking to an aide or an intern. But we want you to be respectful, but be honest. Tell them what you think of things like this. Because, yes, it was in Minneapolis, but they're next door. They're our next door neighbor. And that doesn't mean we're precluded from it happening to us. And it's happened here in Wisconsin. We've had these events happen in Wisconsin. And frankly, we need people in charge who are going to do something about it. And this seems like it's going to be the same path. It's going to be event, chatter, misinformation, and then we wait for the next time for it to happen. And it's becoming tiresome, and I'm tired of seeing anyone get killed, especially children in this matter. But yeah, Go to myvote.wi.gov for more information. Again, if you were affected by the flood, if you live in an area that was affected by the flood, we were talking about it earlier about the FEMA declaration or the request for a declaration from Governor Evers on it. Go to 211, put in your information, let them know how you were affected by the floods that happened this month, and you can hopefully be a part of the solution. They will maybe get a knock on a door from a FEMA worker. If not, don't worry about it. Check out the show notes for today and find out more about how FEMA is going around the neighborhoods doing that good work. When we come back from the break, when we come back from the bottom of the hour news, we have Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a law review, talking about all of the important things in the news, including a story from right here in Milwaukee. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close. Stay tuned. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Bach, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is currently vacating, relaxing, enjoying, deservedly so. She said to text early this morning, she still misses every single one of you. If you want to get in touch with us, you can call or text 855-752-4842 or leave a comment on the live stream. We are currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the place we, in this house, still call Twitter. Very excited to have him with us. He is the host of Amicus, a law review, former U.S. attorney, current practicing attorney, and coming to us live from an undisclosed location in a governmental building, Mr. Jim Santel. Jim, thank you so much for joining us, as you do every Thursday.
Greg, always a pleasure to be with you. And once again this morning, lots of things in the news, as you've just been noting, regardless of where I'm coming from, right? It's all important, all significant to talk about. A great pleasure, as always, to be here.
Absolutely. And when we were discussing in our pre-show chat about what to talk about, you mentioned the, you know, addressing what's going on in Minneapolis. And right. You wanted to comment on that as far as what works in addressing gun violence. And you've worked in government and you've worked in the law and you've seen what works and what doesn't. And I wanted you to just speak about that for a moment as well.
Absolutely. A couple things in connection with my prior employment as an assistant U.S. attorney and U.S. attorney. The reality is that federal law enforcement, at least in prior administrations, has been enforcing the gun violence laws that are on the books. We do those prosecutions all the time. If people are possessing weapons they should not have, they are prosecuted, they are sentenced, and most often they're incarcerated. So this notion that somehow the government is not prosecuting those crimes, that should be dismissed as being unfounded. Most importantly, however, when we think about this, we know what works. We know what works. We had a 10-year ban in this country on assault weapons. And what happened from 1994 to 2004 before it sunset? The answer is that the incidences of mass shootings, again, situations where you have at least four people who are shot, maybe killed, but shot, that's a mass shooting in America, those dropped precipitously during that decade. Congress did not re-up that prohibition, and then we're back to where we are today. We know about things like emergency violent protective orders, where the red flags that you and a caller were talking about before, those work as well. Going into court and saying, you know what, Mr. Santel seems to be suffering from some mental illness. He shouldn't have a gun for a temporary period of time. Let's remove that from him until that issue is addressed. Those work as well. Home safety provisions, of course, background checks. And in all those jurisdictions, Greg, you know this well, where around the country we have states that have adopted variations on this, their incidence of local gun violence drops and has remained low for long periods of time. So again, we know this is not a matter of having to do more research. We don't need more discussion, no more national conversation, as we often talked about it. We know what works. Let's do that. Advocate in Madison, other places around the country, and yes, in our Congress for these reasonable, rational restrictions on firearms use and abuse. By the way, nothing about the Supreme Court's decisions prohibits the government from imposing restrictions on these kinds of things. Who told us that? Antonin Scalia told us. There's nothing that
the liberal, shill. Right?
Exactly. So all of that, again, in the midst of this latest, as you have noted so very poignantly, latest tragedy. And regrettably, there will be more in this year, in this month, in coming months. And we need desperately, as you have advocated so eloquently this morning, other times, we know what works. Let's do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was looking it up, and it was December of 2024 at Abundant Life Christian School in Madison, mm-hmm. where something similar right. happened. And, you know, we had the conversation. It hit close to home because it was Wisconsin. We talked mm-hmm. about it. It was national news. And I remember right. talking about it. I was actually, I believe Jane was actually out for a reason. And we were talking about this. And I went to a website that's dedicated to tracking all of the mass shootings here in America. And there were five that day that no one talked about because Abundant Life was the most, I would say, newsworthy. I don't want to say tragic. They're all tragic. And I don't want to say anything other than sensational enough for the news to cover it. We weren't talking about them because they happen so often, so many times in a day in this country. And just look at around the world when you look at other countries. I watched a video about a shooting in Ireland in the 90s, and over a 2-year period, they banned weapons.
Right.
And they don't have that problem anymore. And I know that's a hot button sentence to say when I say banning weapons, because people then automatically jump on that instead of really what we're talking about, which is the core issue to the problem, is sensible laws. Prosecution, mental health awareness, mental health, access to mental health services, and we go from there. I'm not so naive that I think that everyone's going to walk into the Congress and go, we're getting rid of guns tomorrow. But there is a claim to be made about countries who see these kinds of tragedies and actually do the work.
Right, absolutely. It's got to be that entire package. You mm-hmm. just listed them well, Greg. You hit on all of those. And again, are you going to prohibit and eliminate all gun violence? No, that's unrealistic, regrettably. But you're going to make it reduced dramatically in those places overseas that have done this. Remember the story once again in New Zealand, when again, extraordinarily, they have these events. And what happens? Legislature very quickly comes in and says, we're going to impose some of those, once again, reasonable, rational restrictions. And I'm not afraid of the B word. You are not either. We can ban certain things. We ban silencers. We ban assault weapons. Why? Assault weapons are weapons of war. Yeah. They're intended to do one thing, which is mow people down. When I was in Iraq, I saw those assault weapons routinely. They're weapons of war. There is no reason in America, and there's no constitutional prohibition on getting rid of them in this nation as well, because they do not meet the standards established by the Supreme Court. They're weapons of war, not in a domestic environment where we live together as a common society. Let's get rid of those and do other things that can make us more safe.
Love it. Love having you here. If you're just joining us on Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network, we are talking to Mr. Jim Santel. He is the host of Amicus, a Law Review, which is available every Saturday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. I can tell you firsthand knowledge, it's like law school in a 2-hour course once a week. You get a lot of information. It's great to listen to. And if you can't catch it live, you can go to civicmedia.us/shows, download episodes, subscribe to us as a podcast. I'm just telling you, listen to the show. He's here every Thursday to talk about what's going on in the news with regard to law and something very close to home. I know we've been talking a lot about Jeffrey Epstein in the past few weeks, but there have been some developments in the Judge Dugan case out of Milwaukee. Jim, can you give us a little rundown of what happened and what came out of the courts this week?
Yeah, absolutely. This is important. Again, Hannah Dugan charged in a federal indictment, basically with undermining the conduct of one of our federal agencies. We all know the alleged story there and the indictment that she's facing. She filed through her attorneys a couple of motions. One of them basically said that, gee, if Donald Trump is immune from prosecution, I should be also. So she raised an immunity defense. And then she also filed something called a 10th Amendment defense, which sounds very wonky, but we all understand it. It's basically saying, gee, this is a state matter. She's a state court judge in a mm-hmm. state court proceeding. Federal government should have no involvement. 10th Amendment basically says there's a separation between those. It's kind of the state's rights version inside our Constitution. So that's pending. A magistrate judge, her name is Nancy Joseph, a little while ago, she recommended to Judge Lynn Edelman, who is presiding over the case, recommended that he deny those two motions. And sure enough, just early this week, Judge Edelman adopted that. And here's what he said. He said, there's no basis for granting immunity simply because some of the allegations in the indictment, again, the charging document against Anna Dugan, describe conduct that could be considered part of the judge's job. He puts that in quotes. And he said, as the magistrate judge noted, the same is true in the bribery prosecutions, concededly valid, where the judges were prosecuted for performing official acts intertwined with bribery. What is he saying with all that? He says, well, you know what? This is kind of a mixed situation. He says it may well be that there may be some criminal conduct here. It's mixed in with her role, plainly, as a sitting circuit court judge. And basically he says, I'm going to let the jury sort that out. Mm-hmm. He also then dismisses the 10th Amendment argument, says no. Then at least as to here, the government can still go ahead. So it is undeniably a victory, if you will, if we speak in those terms. All criminal prosecution, of course, is a tragedy also.
Yeah.
Victory for the government. It is a loss for the defense. But what the judge also said, again, the presiding judge, he said, before we go to trial, I want to know whether or not you're going to appeal my decision. That would go, Greg, as you and Calvin know well, to the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. And he scheduled a hearing for middle of next week. Everybody's going to come in. More reporting on this show and others, obviously, about what the parties say. Almost certainly, Hannah Dugan, through her very good attorneys, know them well, and they're very effective, even though they were not successful this time, will almost certainly say, we're going to take what's called an interlocutory appeal, another one of those big, fancy legal words out there. We're going to take this to the Seventh Circuit to determine whether or not Judge Edelman is right or wrong on that. The effect of that will be to delay this. Unlikely we'll see a trial anytime in this calendar year, much more likely into 2026 or beyond, again, depending upon what the Court of Appeals has done. So movement forward in the case, but not closer to real disposition. Charges still pending. She still remains a judge, but on administrative leave. She is not on the bench. Mm-hmm. And while this is all pending.
That was been by my next question statement is that she currently is not, she is not on the bench because she has, but she had her, she was suspended by the Wisconsin Supreme Court, which at the time, and still the current makeup of the liberal Supreme Court, they did it as a matter of process, as a matter of, this is what you do. I guess for me, like, you've got to watch the, you've got to watch it all play out. But I just keep thinking back to that video and the statements. This was not some plan that was hatched. It was literally her showing this gentleman to the door, accessing the same hallway as these ICE agents, riding on an elevator with these ICE agents, exiting the building, and then being detained. And no, and Jim, I am rarely called smart ever, but from what I see, I can't see any sort of criminal conspiracy to commit any sort of obstruction.
Right. And you know what? I'm going to describe you as smart because I think your comments are just that. What the judge is basically saying here is, you know what, on these kind of esoteric, it's a lot kind of arguments, I'm not going to take this away from the jury. We all know that when cases go to trial, when you've got witnesses on the stand who describe, Greg, exactly what you're just describing here, who is saying what to whom? Tell me about the dynamics. Show me where the elevator is. Tell me what was happening in the courtroom, in the hallway, what discussions we're having. All that becomes more factually relevant. And basically the judge is saying, I want the jury to decide that, to sort this out. And it's often the case, this has been my practice and the practice of any other litigating attorney out there, difference between pretrial motions, getting rid of or not getting rid of cases, and taking them to trial. We'll see what happens. Even the Seventh Circuit affirms Judge Edelman, there's a long way to go before you get a conviction here based upon precisely the observations, Greg, that you have wisely, smartly made right now.
Well, when we come back, Richard, I see you on the call line. If you can just hold on for a moment, we'll take you on the other side of the of our water moment. We're going to keep the conversation going with Jim Santella, who is the host of Amicus, a law review, former U.S. attorney, current practicing attorney. We're not going anywhere, so you shouldn't either. Stay close. Stay tuned. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Bach, filling in for Jane Matt and Air, who is currently on vacation, and she misses you, and she loves you. We are talking to Mr. Jim Santel, who is a former U.S. attorney, current practicing attorney, host of Amicus, a law review, which is available on Civic Media Live 9 to 11 every Saturday morning. If you can't get it live, go to civicmedia.us/shows, download the episodes there and listen to them on your device whenever, wherever you would like. If you want to get in touch with us, you can always do that by calling or texting 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or leave a comment on the live stream. We are currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be and is still Twitter, because we don't call it by that new name. Talking to Jim about everything going on in Milwaukee with Judge Hannah Dugan, some information coming out about the latest steps in the case to, I would say, get rid of her. But before we do that, I want to get to the call line. Richard from Waukesha has been very patient. Richard, what say you about this morning?
Well, I've been listening to the discussion of the shooting, and I'm wondering if I'm off track here or not, but did anybody ever think of the fact that, you know, when we had the situation with smoking cigarettes on TV, and they stopped it?
Yeah.
Is there a problem possibly with the shooting, with all of this gaming, with shooting participation in this television and movie situations? Do you think there's some kind of connection with some of these people with their mental health?
I mean, well, with regard to the individuals themselves, I first of all, not a doctor. Don't even play one on TV, Richard. Thank you so much for the question. It's a conversation that's been had for a long time, Jim. I'm sure you've seen it in the courtrooms. Does our gun culture influence our violence? And I personally, this is just me, I don't speak for Jim, Calvin, Civic Media, or anybody, but to me it seems like gun culture will affect those who are suffering from mental illnesses, possibly. I watch movies that glorify violence. I read books that glorify violence. I've played video games that glorify violence. I do not feel I'm a violent person. I do not feel inspired by that media to do anything. It's a very nuanced conversation, Richard. Jim, what are your thoughts?
I agree with you, right? And it is the difference between observing those things, sometimes listening to those things, and recognizing what you just said, Greg, which is all of that is made up, right? It's not real. Mm-hmm. And again, the medical folks with whom I speak and you speak and others also say that it's a misrepresentation about the human body and those kinds of things. But putting all that to one side, when you are, whether it's movies or television or even books, that sort of thing, it's recognizing the difference between those two things. Mm-hmm. Or maybe some First Amendment issues out there and rational people being able to say, okay, I can observe those things. I can consume those as a part of my own personal, maybe education or entertainment. But that is that's where the line is drawn. I'm not going to go out and do those kinds of things because I recognize that what I'm consuming over here is not real. It's not a part of the actual world. However, Richard's onto something else, of course. Law enforcement will tell you, as I'm sure they are doing right now with respect to Minneapolis and all the other cases, that we do have what is regrettably called a copycat problem in this nation, which is when one of these happens, you tend to get even more of them because for some reason, once again, it prompts people to think, oh, that's a solution to my problems. It happened there. Maybe I should do that. That, of course, is, again, not only skewed mentality, it's completely erroneous logic, but we do see that in law enforcement. And so one thing tends to breed the next. It is all bad. And again, we can solve these things by addressing the entire package, Greg, as you're saying here, including the ways in which we even expose young people to some of these images. You can make some restrictions on those as parents and teachers and those kinds of things without running afoul of basic rights.
Absolutely. I mean, this conversation could be another 10 years long and right, we'd still be coming up with good solutions on this one. And Richard, thank you so much for calling in and asking that question, because that's also another thing to consider. I would just say out loud to people, and I know this might be hard because it pushes individuals out of their comfort zone, but if you see someone who is consuming that media and it's starting to make them, you feel a turn in their personality, something is being influenced or something is happening, talk to them, talk to someone, make yourselves aware, because to say like, well, I had no idea what was going on. Well, then we as individuals who do not suffer from these problems, have to put ourselves in the way of those who do to say, how can I help you? What's going on? Or be the person who says, we need to get you more help, because there are signs out there. There are things out there. There were of Miss Westman. There were videos of her talking on YouTube about this stuff. So, you know, please do not, anyone listening to this, take it as a form of blame. I'm not. It's just saying, for us to come to a solution, we all have to be part of that solution.
Right. And Greg, what you've just articulated is basically the premise for these ERPOs, or the, again, sometimes called red flag laws, mm-hmm. that basically say, gosh, somebody in employment, specifically inside your family, if I wake up one morning and my family says, you know, Jim is engaging in some behaviors, he's talking about self-destruction, he's talking about hurting other people, and we also know that he has a weapon available to him in his house, he's got it legally, no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. You can, in fact, go to law enforcement and, again, eventually go to a judge and say, you know what? We're not violating the Second Amendment. We're basically saying, under these circumstances, let's remove that weapon of danger so that Jim doesn't take his own life or the lives of others temporarily. And the judge can enter that order and say, for this period of time, we're going to keep you more safe. And that's premised upon what you just said, Greg, which is people coming forward and saying, I'm seeing something and I'm going to say something to prevent yep. the worst thing from happening.
Yep. See something, say something. You just... Perfect. Oh, Jim, I always love having you here. I always appreciate your time and expertise. Now go be a lawyer and do your lawyerly things. You can always listen to Jim Santel on Amicus or here on Matt and Air on Air. Go to civicmedia.us/shows for more information on Jim. Thank you so much, sir. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
Right.
When we come back after the news, we're going to be talking about a handshake deal between the government and tribal radio stations. What could go wrong? Stick around. Don't go anywhere. Get yourself hydrated. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.